Again, this morning I'm speaking from Jeremiah 29, verse 13. My topic is seeking Jesus. Seeking Jesus. It's a very simple message and a very simple topic, but friends, we need to be reminded again and again that we have to seek Jesus. He's our Lord, our Savior. Amen. Every one of us, we need to remind ourselves, remind our children, remind our family, our friends, that we need to seek Jesus. Can I hear an amen? We need that. We need that, okay? So, Jeremiah 29:13, the Word of God says, "And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." And my dear friends, this, the Word of God, we know, is true. God is constant. And what God has promised in His Word, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, it will come to pass. Amen? It will come to pass. So seeking Jesus with all your heart, my dear friends, with everything that is within you, is what we ought to do. And we ought to teach our young and teach our children as well that all of us need to seek Jesus. Because God's promises in His Word is not in vain. Amen? It's never in vain. What He said will come to pass. So you seek Him, you shall find Him when you search for Him with all of your heart. Hallelujah. Seek Him for an answer to your problem. Seek Him for a solution. Seek Him if you have worry, burdens. You seek Him when you are ill and you need healing. You seek Him in every area, in every aspect of your life and my life. Hallelujah. And I pray that if God is tugging at your heart today, if you hear His voice, obey Him. I challenge you to respond to the living God, to Jesus. And as the Holy Spirit stir your heart this morning, right where you are, even in your sitting room when you are at home, respond. I can challenge you and tell you that when you respond to the Lord, His Holy Spirit will come in. Jesus will reveal Himself to you and reveal His love to you in a very marvelous and wonderful way. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Few things will happen when you come to Jesus. This morning, I want to talk about a little man we used to sing in Sunday school. A very little man indeed. And he couldn't see Jesus. And he was lost in the crowd. How many of us feel that we are lost in a crowd? When we go in a group of people, we find that we are suddenly alone and we cannot even find ourselves. This man sought and seek after Jesus. Of course, you know his name. Zacchaeus, that's right, Zacchaeus. Luke 19, verses 1 to verse 10. Let me read the words to you. This very short passage of scripture. But I want to tell you, this is a true incident. Okay, it is not a parable. It is a true incident that happened. So Zacchaeus, the Bible says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. All right, we've been there. We have seen the tree even. They show us the tree where Zacchaeus climbed up. And behold, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down. Immediately, I must stay at your house today." I love this. I must stay at your house today. That's why I emphasize today. And tomorrow also will be today. And the next day onwards will be today. Hallelujah. Every day Jesus wants to stay in your house. Amen. Amen. And he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter. The muttering of the people, it never stops. "He has gone to the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Wow, so generous, right? Now Jesus said to him, "Today." Everyone say, "Today." Today. Today. What has happened? Jesus didn't say, "Today you are going to be poorer." He said, "Today. In fact, you are going to be richer because salvation has come to your house, because this man too is the son of Abraham." Hallelujah. "For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost." What a wonderful story of this Zacchaeus. So observe with me a few things today, very quickly. A change of heart. There's a change of heart in the heart of Zacchaeus. What happens when you have a change of heart? Change comes to the heart that seeks Jesus. He heard about Jesus. He was a chief tax collector. In other words, the Bible also tells us he was very wealthy. He was very wealthy. And that didn't stop him from coming to Jesus. All right, friends? He didn't bother. People didn't like him. They despised him. The crowd was there. But he had this heart. In fact, the Bible says in the New King James, behold this man. Behold, when the word of God says behold, it means something that you can reckon with. It's like something wondrous. Hey, look, something is happening. It's like, wow. It's a wow factor. Behold, this man came to Jesus amidst all the things that are against him. Right? People talk bad about him, despise him. Nobody who likes a tax collector, who likes to receive your jabatan hasil dalam negara form. Nobody likes, right? You feel with trembling, fear and trembling. Here he was, this tax collector impersonation of a man. And he didn't care. His heart was changed because he wanted to see who Jesus is. He heard all the miracles of Jesus and what Jesus has done, and even Lazarus raised from the dead. At this particular incident, Jesus was walking towards Jerusalem. He was already going to the cross. All right? So this was what was happening on the way there. On the way there. And a few things happen when there is a change of heart. We notice in the life of Zacchaeus, a few things has happened. Firstly, his perspective was changed. Now he no longer see himself as a man who didn't need Jesus. He knew, even though he had all the wealth in the world, something still lacked within him. Something was missing. Mrs. Zacchaeus couldn't fill in the gap. If he had children, the children couldn't fill in this gap that is within him. All the wealth that he had could not take away the longing in his heart for something more to life. What am I doing in this life? Why am I working so hard? Why am I building myself a reputation for? All these things was working within him, and he needed to find a solution to the cry that is within him. So against all odds, his perspective changed. I need to see Jesus. I need to see what this man can do for me. Even if I can just get a glimpse of Jesus, I know my heart will be changed. I know my life will be different. I know there will be something imparted to me. So he did the impossible for you and me. Maybe for you, you can. But for me, it's impossible to climb up the sycamore tree. Okay? But he did that. His perspective changed. In fact, he didn't want to hold on to money anymore. All right? The second thing that changed was he was also willing to sacrifice. When Jesus looked up at him, Jesus had eye contact with him. And he had eye contact with Jesus. Jesus looked up and said, come down. You come down. I'm coming to stay in your house. So he had eye contact with Jesus. Immediately, Jesus didn't have to say, Zacchaeus, you are a terrible man. Zacchaeus, you are a sinner. No, Jesus didn't even have to say that. Immediately when he saw Jesus, something happened within him. The miraculous happened. His greed was broken. The stronghold over his life was broken. Immediately he said, I give half of my wealth to the poor. And if I've taken falsely and cheated anyone, I pay back four times. That was according to the law at that time. To pay back four times what he had cheated people. You know, immediately it came out that he was willing to do that. There was a heart transformation when he met Jesus. Amen? Friends, this morning I want us to know that when we meet Jesus, even in our worship, even in your prayer time at home, when you meet Jesus, when you read his word, there must come a change in our hearts, a change in our perspective of life, of things around us, of people around us, and the value of life, the value system of life have to change. No longer now are we interested in a $1,000 handbag or $10,000 handbag. No longer are we interested in branded things. Nowadays, even you want to go to the shopping mall, you need to go and zoom back. You are not going to loiter around and do window shopping, are you? No, no more, right? But you do online shopping, huh? Be careful, okay? Don't overspend your credit limit. At the end of the month, when the bill comes, your husband says, what's this? this $1,000 handbag. Oh, your value system changed. You are no longer interested, you know, in material things. Your neighbor buys a new car. Doesn't matter. I remember one time my son asked me, "Mom, what kind of car would you like to drive?" I think he was like 15 or 16 years old. Jonathan, he's not here. I can talk about him today. So I said, "No, I can drive anything, son. I don't mind anything. The Lord gives me, I will have it." And he said, "Oh, like that, Mom. Then you drive a truck, you drive a bus." He was sarcastic. He was being sarcastic. Well, maybe I should have said, I want a Mercedes or I want a Porsche. But that was not my value system. My value system is I'm happy. I'm happy with what God gives me. I'm able to drive from A to B to Z and able to do what God wants me to do and go home safely. Amen? That is our ultimate. And if God bless you with more, praise the Lord, you can have it. No problem. But our value system must change when we meet with Jesus. There must come a change of heart. Bottom line, my dear friends, you must change. Your perspective must change. Your heart must change. You're willing to sacrifice, to give of your time, your effort, your money, your embrace. You must be willing to change in your value system. Value people more than money. Value people and relationships more than your pride, more than your prejudice. Amen? You must value them. Value the people that God has given into your lives. The young ones, the children, the young people, the old folks, your parents. Thank God for them. Value people. Can I? Amen? And if you value, you will actually spend time and money and effort into their lives. And this is what the Lord would require of us when there is a change of heart. All right? So change of heart happened for Zacchaeus when he saw Jesus, when he met Jesus with all of his heart. Friends, it can also happen to us. Amen. So, but on contrary to this, I bring you the story of another young man who came to Jesus. And this incident was recorded one chapter before in Luke 18. I didn't put it up, but this story is about this man who came zealously to Jesus. Oh, he ran also to Jesus, like Zacchaeus. He was eager to meet the Lord. He heard so much about him and he wanted eternal life. He sought after Jesus and he ran after Jesus. "What must I do, Lord, to inherit eternal life?" I think you know the story, all right? This is the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler. He had so much. He kept all the law. Don't commit murder. Don't bear false witness. Honor your father, mother. You know, all these things. He said, "I've kept that, all the law that God commanded from the time I was a young man. A very good, righteous young man." But Jesus saw his heart. And Jesus said, "One thing you lack. Sell all you have. Give it to the poor. Come and follow me." What did this young ruler did? You know the story. He went away very happily. Did he go away very happily? No. He went away sadly. He met Jesus. Unlike Zacchaeus, he met Jesus. He got down on the tree. So glad, so excited. Jesus called him. But this rich young ruler came to the feet of Jesus and he went off sorrowfully. Why? Because he couldn't let go of the thing that God wanted. God didn't want his money. God wanted his heart. Jesus doesn't want your money, you know. Don't think, "Oh, I must come to Jesus and I lose all my belongings, I lose all my money and I'm going to live in a hut." No, no, all right? Jesus knows the heart. He sees the heart. Amen? And this morning we need to submit to the Lord. Embracing the heart of Christ. We need to embrace the heart of Jesus as Jesus embraces your heart. Amen. Secondly, what happens is I see humility in Zacchaeus. Humility in him. He didn't care who was there and what rank of the people were there. He just climbed up the tree. He ran. Okay, the Bible tells us he ran. He sought Jesus. He climbed up the sycamore tree just to catch a glimpse of Jesus. Change of heart is not enough, friends. We have to put action into our change of heart. You have to put action. Yeah, I love Jesus. Yes, I want to follow him. Yes, Pastor, I want to go for missions one day. Now that one day is hold on already. You cannot go to Punjab. Maybe 1 year, maybe 2 years. Huh? No. I want to go. I want to do something for the Lord one day. That one day is not enough. God wants you to be active. Active. Pursuing him and pursuing his kingdom. Pursuing the righteousness of God. Amen. Pursuing His will. So with all humility and with earnestness, let us do that. And enthusiastically, earnestly, he sought the Lord. So there's a lot of change in Zacchaeus. People's opinion didn't matter to him. People muttering around, "Who he's a sinner. You know, Jesus is going to go to his house." Do you hear mutterings of people? They do all the time. What you need to do is turn a deaf ear to the mutterings of the people, because the people will not add one iota of good into your life. The mutterings of the people, negative talk of the people, will never add any good to you. So what you need to do is shut it off. Do not listen. Do not allow the mutterings of the people to build a nest on your head and affect your soul and your spirit, man. Can I hear amen? Let it go. Let it go. At the same time, don't keep bitterness in your heart and always remember, "Oh, this person said this about me. That person said that about me." When? 25 years ago, Pastor. 30 years ago, Pastor. I cannot forgive. I can forgive, I cannot forget. Don't. Let it go for your own sake. As you seek Jesus today, salvation shall come to your house. You will be set free. Amen? From bitterness and hurts and the mutterings of the people. So humbly, I'm talking about humility, humbly come before the Lord day in and day out in your own personal life, your own personal devotion. Talk to the Lord. Invite Him. Those who are at home, yeah, spend your time seeking the Lord. If those of us senior citizens, you're not able to go out so often. In fact, this is a time now to get closer to the Lord and talk to Him and spend more time in His presence, listening to His counsel, listening to praise and worship and enjoying His presence. Hallelujah. Second thing about being humble is come together humbly. It is God's plan for God's people to come together like this, in this manner, in the house of God to worship Him. Hebrews 10:25. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Those at home, I'm not talking about you. But this is the word of God. This is the word of God. We must choose, all right? Choose to worship Him. Don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together. So much more as you see the day approaching. You know, when I research a bit on the word forsaking, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. The word forsaking actually means desertion, you know. Like a soldier who deserts his company of soldiers. You know what they do to a deserter? You seen movies, right? They'll be shot. They will be killed and exterminated. They cannot go back and say, "Hey, welcome me back. I'm a deserter. I'm coming back. I repent. I come back." No way. You're going to die. All right? So, not me. I'm just saying this example. A deserter. Well, forsaking means desertion and abandonment. You abandon your people. You abandon your family. You abandon. Overtaken by emotion. You are not. Not abandoning, okay? We do not want to abandon one another. We want to encourage one another. We want to love each other. That's what the body of Christ is. We want to pray for one another. If we hear that you are going through a difficult time, we want to stand with you in prayer and support. Can I amen? That's what the family of God is all about. That's what we want to do when we come together and worship the Lord together and praise Him together. That's why we have churches. That's why we have cell groups and care groups and your little groups, so that you can be building each one up in your most holy faith. Hallelujah. Humbly, humbly, not judgmentally, but humbly. So come and worship. Come and worship Jesus together with one another in the house of God. This is your victory. Amen. This is our victory. Hallelujah. We praise God that we can come and meet in the church. We pray that it will continue to be open for us. Do not be afraid. We have taken every step to sanitize the place, to fog the place. In fact, some of you came in and said, "Why is the place so foggy?" Because we fog it after every service and we clean every individual chair. Myself, Joanna, Sister Jack, we come early and we clean up and wipe down every chair and we spray. And I brought my own sanitizer to sanitize all the worship team. From head to toe. Okay, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are clear. Don't be afraid. No fear. Hallelujah. Come. Come. Let us worship. Hallelujah. Number three. Intimate. Oh, Jesus called him by name. Zacchaeus. Jesus looked up. Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house. I'm staying at your house. All right. So how intimate is that when God knows your name? Hey, God knows her name. Many years ago, I remember, Pastor took me to Scotland for a conference that Pastor was speaking in Scotland. And then after the meeting, this very dear elderly lady took me aside and said, you know your name? Because I'm Laifan, okay? So he said, no, your name? Your name means beautiful flower. How does she know? How does she know? Yeah, I said, yeah, my name means beautiful flower. Chen Li Fen, you know? So how does she know? Because she's a prophetess. God spoke to her and told me my name. In other words, God knows my name. He knows your name, my dear friends. He knows you. Even before you were formed in your mother's womb, He already knew you. Amen. How intimate is that? How close God wants to be with us, with you and I. Amen. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. God knows you by name. He knows you inside and out, even more than you can ever imagine. More than you know yourself. Sometimes it shocks me, you know. The day I was telling Pastor, what happened? I was like, huh? How do you know? I was in my home in Sepang. And then I was washing my dishes and I looked out the window. I saw this little, animal lovers. I saw this little cat that came prowling slowly, stealthily towards my door, which was open. So I stood there and I looked. I took water from the sink. I waited for the right moment when the cat came and peered his face against the door. I gave one like that. And you know what? Surprisingly, I didn't know I had that feeling. Suddenly, in a snapshot, I felt good. Are you? I felt, in a split second, I thought, oh no, I'm like my mother. that flash came through me, the expression on my face, the wanting to do that. God, I didn't know it's me. I didn't know I had that in me. Friends, surprise. God will surprise you. There are things in you that need to change. In your heart that you think is so good need to change. Amen. I need to be kinder to animals, especially to cats. Hallelujah. Oh, God is good. Praise God. Are you with me this morning? Yeah? With me this morning. So, God wants to be intimate with us. And as parents, we want to be intimate with our children. We know our children. We know their ups, their downs. We know what they like to eat. We know how they behave in the morning. What ticks them? What makes them happy? What irritates them? So as parents, we are also attentive to our children. We are intimate. Be intimate with your children, parents. Be intimate because every one of them is different. They are different personalities, different characters. They are all different. We cannot put them in a box and say, okay, all your children behave in this manner. No way. No way. They're all different. So we need to look after them and care for them and love them intimately, each one individually, just as God does it to us. Amen? Individually and lovingly. He helped us to change. Hallelujah. So spend the time with the Lord to be intimate with Him. Nathanael came to the Lord. Jesus says, I know you. How do you know? How do you know me? Nathanael was surprised. How do you know me? John chapter 1. Jesus says, I knew you even before your brother called you. I knew you. You were sitting under the fig tree. I saw you. All right? And with that revelation, Nathanael said, you are the Son of God. You are the Son of God. God knows each one of us by name. Hallelujah. Amen. So Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm coming to stay at your house. And immediately, verse 5 tells us, Zacchaeus came down immediately. No second opinion, no second thoughts. Immediately. When Jesus calls us to Him, friends, I want us to respond. It would be good to respond immediately to the Lord. Don't say, Lord, next year. Lord, tomorrow. Lord, when the pandemic ends. Lord, maybe next month. Lord, when I'm in a better position, I will come to you. No, today, if you hear His voice and if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, today, respond to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm coming to you. I give you my all. I give you my everything. I give you my heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's do that, okay? Let's do that today. Jesus says in John 15:15, I have called you friends. I've called you friends. You are my friend. You are my friend. For all the things I've heard of my Father, I make known to you. We are friends. Jesus called us his friends. That doesn't mean that we just buddy-buddy with Jesus. We honor him, we respect him, we love him. But he is our friend. A friend that sticks closer to us than a brother. Hallelujah. You have the friend in Jesus. Amen? Amen? Come to him. Come to him. Talk to him. Tell him your concerns. Tell him what makes you mad, what makes you sad, what makes you happy. You know, tell him. And what's your worry? Fourth, but not the least, salvation has come to this home today. Today, the Lord says, salvation has come. Salvation, eternal life, forgiveness of sin, hope has come to your house today. Not just for you, but for your whole household, your entire family. Salvation has come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are going to take this with us as we go back home, as we go back to our walks of life. Remember that Jesus wants to come into your home and bring salvation, his goodness, his peace, his love, his compassion, his forgiveness into your home today. Today. Hallelujah. Not tomorrow. Okay, friends? Today. Again, everyone say, today. Today. Salvation has come. Praise him. Praise him. Therefore, there is no condemnation. Romans 8, verse 1 and 2. Now, therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay? You are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You and I, we walk according to the Spirit. There is therefore no condemnation. Amen? The devil comes to condemn you, but the Holy Spirit comes to convict you, to bring you to Jesus, not condemnation. Therefore, we also do not condemn one another, but we encourage each other that we may find Jesus together. Hallelujah. Walk this life of good eternity, a goodwill together. All right? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. This morning, as I close the message, I want us to know that Jesus Christ has come to set us free. He has come to liberate us, liberate you from your past, liberate you from guilt, liberate you from sin, liberate you from limitations that bring you down. But friends, when we come to Jesus, his Spirit will lift us up. Amen. His blood cleanses us and makes us whole. Hallelujah. Shall we arise to our feet at this time? Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. As Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus gladly this morning, would you also welcome Jesus gladly into your hearts, into your home, into your businesses, into your families? Hallelujah. Let us welcome Jesus.